Hi, my name is Russell Spatz. I'm an alcoholic.
So
you were late.
So so I started off my house at, 5:45. So what is it now, 8 o'clock? So can anybody do the math on that?
2 hours, 15 minutes.
So who should be pissed off? You guys? You guys are the son of a bitch who spend 2 hours and 15 minutes to get up here. I'm thinking I'm the guy who has the right to be pissed off. I think I'm the guy who has the right to expect a little gratitude. What? No, but it's amazing. Well, you know, I don't know, the rain, who the hell knows? Apparently, now who would have known this? My mind power cannot move the cars. You know, before I came in today, I thought my mind power, I could hate them out of the way. You know, and you know, I don't know where my guys are. Are they here? A bunch of people rode. Oh, there they are. We got a bunch of people rode up here with me, and they were saying, "Well, aren't you upset or worried or something?" I said, "You know, I used to be. You know, I mean, I can't imagine. I think I'm going to talk a little bit about this deal, getting upset and stuff like that." How many people here have less than 10 years? Oh, great. Oh, that's wonderful. I'm real happy. Oh, that's great. So I'm going to talk about some stuff, okay? So I'm going to talk about that getting upset shit, you know? Because what am I doing? I'm doing emotional sobriety. This is emotional sobriety, right?
Yeah.
So I've been around way too long. You can look at me and see I've been someplace too long, you know? And I've been sober a little over almost 34 years now. And I came in when I was six. In any event, my wife, who I affectionately refer to as "She Who Must Be Obeyed," she's like the queen of Al-Anon. We all know what Al-Anon is, our ladies of perpetual revenge. And you're laughing, you don't know what it's like. So I've been married, I'm like 65, I've been married like 30-something, I don't even know, long time, 33 years, I've been sober 33 years, I've been married. My sponsor said, "Don't make any major moves during the first year." I picked up my red chip and I got married. So I'm not the guy to talk to about relationships, you know, and I don't know much about it. And I got 4 kids, 6 grandkids, and most of the time self-supported through my own contributions and stuff like that. But in any event, so I went up to, she goes to these Al-Anon things. She's like, she's got a title. She's something, I don't know, the queen of Al-Anon or something like that. She knows how to do an Al-Anon 10-step. When I'm wrong, she promptly admits it. So, apparently I'm wrong all the time. So I go up, when she goes up to these Al-Anon things, they have these quarterlies or something, and I think she's in charge of the voodoo dolls, the ones that they, I don't know what, she plays some sort of important role or something. I don't really understand it. I ain't looking to understand it, to tell you the truth. So she asked me, you know, because sometimes she goes up with one of her gals or friends, and, you know, sometimes, so she asked me whether I'd go up there, and I was sick as a dog, I really was. I just got over a bad cold, and I was lying there dying in bed, and she says, "Yeah, I'll come up." So, I drove up there, you know, to be with her, so. And I have to go there. I'm what's called an Al-Anon. Anybody here also, I don't even know whether you're allowed to ask this. This may be like against the rules. Anybody here an Al-Anon also? I mean, I won't tell anybody. Okay, great. Okay. So let me tell you something. Alcoholics, now I'm going to just, listen, I've got to tell you something. I'm going to say a lot of shit. I'm probably all wrong. I'm going to drive home. On my way home, I'm going to say, "Why did I say that?" Don't get a resentment. I'll change my mind, you know, whatever it is. But I'm just going to, you got to understand something. After 30, when I was around 20 years in AA, when I was about 20, you know, I used to worry about shit I said and stuff. You know, alcoholics, we all, you know, and you understand I'm only talking about myself. I'm not talking about you because I can tell you're a higher class of alcohol. But what happens is, you know, when you're in AA, when you first, you know, you're worried, you know, you're an alcoholic, you know, it says, "Unless and until an alcoholic accepts his alcoholism and all its consequences, his sobriety will be precarious and true happiness will find none at all." And what I found is, what I've discovered after 33 years, I discovered this a long time ago, but there are a lot of consequences to alcoholism, the disease of alcoholism, besides the drinking problem, which is really just the symptom of the disease. I mean, I drank because I was an alcoholic. I drank alcohol because I was an alcoholic. That's what they call it, alcoholism, because the alcohol is the best shit that works with this thing. Whatever the thing is I got, alcoholism is the best thing that works on it. I had it by the time, when I was a sperm, I had it. I mean, coming down the chute, you know what I mean? whatever insulation God gives little babies is that coming down the conveyor belt so they can withstand the horse shit and the two-hour traffic and everything like that to get there. You know, they whatever that shit they spray on those guys, you know, on the fetuses, you know, as they're coming down. I was coming down the thing, and I was about to spray me, and somebody said, "Oh, God," and he looked up, and I went by, and I was screwed from the get-go, you know what I mean? So that's the deal. So I'm down here with thankless people laughing at me. So in any event, I didn't know I had alcoholism because alcoholism actually feels like the way I feel. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know I'm an alcoholic. I just know this is my personality. My sponsor said, "Why are you so angry? Why do you get all upset? Why?" He says, "I said that's just my personality." He says, "It's your personality that's killing you. How do you get rid of your personality? What would I be without my personality? I'd be well. That's what I'd be. I'd be well. But you know, if you're an alcoholic, you're in love with your personality. Yourself will run riot. You know, they say you're selfish, you're self-centered. You know, that's the real nature of disease, being selfish and self-centered, driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking. You step on toes of others, they retaliate, you know, usually without provocation. But you find out that you've made decisions based upon self. I'm not selfish. I'm not selfish. I just want things to go the way I want them to go. That's all, you know. I mean, it's not being selfish. I just look at things the way I look at things. And it says we're self-run riot, but we usually don't think so. And it says unless we get rid of this selfishness, and I don't even know how to get rid of it because I don't even know what it looks like. I mean, I like the word self-run riot, but I don't know what self-run riot means. I don't even know what it means to be self-run riot. I just do what I do, and it feels comfortable to me, and I think the way I think, and I am the way I am. And, you know, it feels all natural to me to be the way I am. And the people I all hang out with, it seems to me everybody I hang out with thinks like me, acts like me, and says the same shit. One day I'm saying, "I can't believe this fucking crap is happening to me." And the next day my friend's saying, "I can't believe this freaking crap is happening to me." One day I say, "I'll show them." The next day my friend's saying, "I'll show them." One day I say, "They don't know who they're fucking with." The next day my friend's saying, "They don't know who they're fucking with." And I don't know if there's something wrong with that. That's just the way I am. The way I feel, it just comes natural. It feels good to do that stuff. You know what I mean? And I don't know if that's alcoholism. I have no idea that's alcoholism. I had that shit going on. I had also, one day I'm feeling sorry for myself and I'm a thumb-sucking crybaby. Next day somebody else is feeling sorry for themselves. All I know is that when I had a drink, alcohol did something for me that I couldn't, I'll tell you something. I defy anybody to drink alcohol and I would do for you what it did for me and stop. You just ain't going to do it. No woman, no suit of clothes, no nothing that ever works quite as well for me as just a few drinks. So I drank, and of course the real problem for me is that alcohol doesn't work anymore, so I don't drink it. And the real problem for me is alcohol stopped working for me about 10 years before I realized it stopped working for me, and I hurt a lot of people. So in any event, but you don't know you're an alcoholic, you just are the way you are, and you drink alcohol, and then my life became turned into a bottle. You know how that is, you know. You know, at first you have like women problems, and then you have like money problems, and then you have car problems, and you have boss problems, and you got all sorts of problems, all sorts of shit going around. And then finally I didn't have any problems except I couldn't stop drinking. I was drinking against my will. You know, I'm drinking against my will. You know, the big book says, you know, when you walk in here, we take care of that right from the beginning. It says we are over 100 men and women who have recovered, that's R-E-D, recovered from a hopeless state of mind and body. And the hopeless state of mind and body I recovered from is I couldn't stop drinking. Now, when your life turns into a bottle and you can't stop drinking, and you know when you can't stop drinking, you get into a lot of trouble that people get into when they can't stop drinking, like DUIs and all sorts of stuff like that. When you get, you know, my wife said to me, my wife, my little five-year-old son, who I love very much, that's bullshit. The only person I ever loved before I came to Alcoholics Anonymous was me. You know, you say shit. Like, you see, alcoholics say things. You know, my son, who I loved, I didn't love my son. I didn't love my wife. I didn't love anybody except for me. How can I say I love myself? How can you say shit like that? You say shit like that because you want people to like you, I guess. Or because you're deluded, you know? How can I love my son? My wife said, look, it's either me and your son or the bottle. I said, is that the decision? She says, yeah. See you around. You can't control me. Who do you think you are? I left her. I left my son. I paid the child support. I did what you're supposed to do. You know what I mean? You know, what kind of man? That's the man I was. I was a lawyer. I was wearing a vest and a three-piece suit, and I was an asshole in a three-piece suit, a selfish, self-centered asshole. All I cared about was myself. How can I say I loved anybody? When I got, that's the way I discarded people. You know, I did what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. You know, and I mean, I thought I was big shit because I was paying my child support and putting my son through college and showing up most of the time on visitation days unless I wanted to do something else. How can I sit here and look at somebody in the eye and say I was a good guy? I was anything but a good guy. Asshole in a three-piece suit, you know? How good it is to see who you really are. You don't have to bullshit around. Make believe that you're good. I was anything but good. I had no chance of being good, I can tell you that, you know? That's for other people in AA. It's for the good people. I wasn't a good guy at all. I was a bad guy. I was a selfish guy. I was a self-centered guy. So what happens is, you know, but I drank alcohol because apparently when you're an alcoholic, you're restless, irritable, discontented, with a whole bunch of other things. You got some sort of problems, and all I know is I needed a drink. I didn't need an excuse to drink. You know, I mean, being awake was good enough for me. I'll tell you what. I drank from the noble art of getting bond. I drank to get drunk. I drank to get drunk. It seems to me every time I drank, I got drunk. And it was intentional, you know what I mean? To drink as fast and as much as possible. You know, somehow, you know, I know how alcoholics say, and I say this, you know, we say shit like, I don't give a shit what they think about me, and I don't care what they think about me, but you know that anybody who says or even thinks, I don't care what they think about me, all they do is think about what other people think about them, and that was me. All they, you know, because people that don't think about other people think about them, you know, who really don't care, don't say, I don't care for shit what other people think about them. They don't even think stuff like that. They don't even think about it, you know, and so all I know is that when I drank alcohol, when I drank alcohol, I would get to the point where I really didn't give a shit what other people thought about me. You know, when you live a life always worried about who you are, what you are, comparing your insides to other people's outsides and worrying about what they think about you and stuff like that, and you can put something in your body, you know, you're a nothing, you're always going to be a nothing, you're never going to be a something, you're never going to be as good as, and you know, you're always a nothing, and all of a sudden I put something in my body and for... In 5 seconds, I'd be an almost. When you're nothing, almost is top of the world, you know. And I'll tell you, this thing, alcohol's bad. It's the only thing that really worked for me, you know. And now the truth of the matter is there are other things that'll work for an alcoholic, you know. An alcoholic man, women will work for you, relationships, sex will work for you, money will work for you, prestige, jobs, all sorts of stuff. There's a lot of stuff in the material world that will, for a season, seem to work for you. But, you know, they have the same deleterious effects actually is alcohol, but they don't arrest you for driving while craving shit, and they don't arrest you for driving while envying, and they don't arrest you for driving while lusting, they don't arrest you for driving while feeling sorry for yourself, so you can pretty much be miserable for your entire life and not even knowing you have a problem, just with all these crazy emotions and feelings and crap like that, that they don't call alcoholism, which is alcoholism. And apparently what the problem is when I stop drinking, all the drinking problems left, but unfortunately I was still an alcoholic and I had all the other shit that happens when you're an alcoholic. And apparently there are other compulsions and other symptoms of alcoholism. You know, apparently you can spend more money than you make all the time and always be broke, even if you're making a six-figure salary, because if you're an alcoholic, somehow, some way, you always have to buy stuff or do stuff in order to make yourself feel better about yourself, because you never feel better the way you are right now. So I spend more money on money I didn't have, on crap I didn't need to impress people I didn't like that you could possibly imagine. So you live in a dishonest life. You don't know why you live in a dishonest life. All you know is that you're broke all the time, and you're worried all the time, and you're worried because you're broke, because you're charging things, and you live in a dishonest life, and you don't even understand why, because you're a good guy in a good world, and you get some sort of sponsor, and he says, well, get rid of that car. What do you mean get rid of it? How am I going to get rid of the car? You know, it's like, get a smaller car, get a smaller house or something like that, what will people think? I mean, I don't think I'm thinking what will people think, but that's what I'm thinking all the time. What will they think? What will they think if this happens? What will they think if that happens? And you find out there's a ton of compulsions, you know. I mean, I was compelled to drink. I couldn't stop drinking. Well, you want some? Stopping drinking is the easy part. It only took me about 15 years in like one day. You know what I mean? Stopping drinking is, I'll tell you what the difficult part is. The difficult part is when you have to stop thinking. What happens when you stop drinking? Now, here I am, I've stopped drinking, and now what I am, you know, Bill Wilson said the next frontier is emotional sobriety, and he says our real problems if you're an alcoholic is unhealthy dependencies, which means either dependencies on unhealthy things, unhealthy people, you know, I mean, I just love to pick out the worst sort of person to hang out with and say, that's my guy, that's my gal, you know. That's the job I want, the job that's going to make me feel like crap with a boss that makes me feel like crap, you know. That's my relationship, to hang out with somebody who's going to make me feel like crap. You know, don't treat me too nicely, I won't want to hang out with you. You know, I'm always worried about being accepted, you know, because if you're an alcoholic, you're an acceptaholic, please love me a holic, you know. Don't reject me a holic, what did I say? You really want to make an alcoholic crazy? Just go up to him and say this, you know. What's your name? You just go up to Kathy and say, Kathy, how you doing? You know, I was at a party last night. You wouldn't believe what this gal was saying about you. Just tell him stuff like that. Just walk up to him and say, man, you wouldn't believe what they were saying about you last night. It'll drive her crazy for about 3 weeks, you know what I mean? And then just walk away, you know, and, you know, just do shit, you know, to people. You know, just goof on them, you know. Yeah, because alcoholics can't stand if somebody doesn't like them. Man, they can't even go to say, oh, why, you know. Oh, you know, I was at a stadium. I was just speaking to about 3,000 people in Toronto for about an hour, and they're all, like, watching me. It was good. It was going good, and I'm speaking to them. And all of a sudden, I see a guy in the back of the room 5 minutes before the thing. I see him leave. A little thing goes off my head, like, what did I say? You know, I mean, he leaves, you know. And they're driving me to the airport, and they say, well, that was a good talk, and really, really appreciate it and everything. And all I'm thinking is that guy. I had about 10 years. I wasn't even close to well. And he says, that guy that left. Why? Now, you know, I mean, it is impossible. Now, what I don't realize is his wife was giving birth to triplets, you know what I mean? And he was supposed to be there with her, but he couldn't tear himself away from my meeting, you know what I mean? So he finally left. You know, I'm thinking, maybe I said something to him, but you see, if you're an alcoholic, that's what you do. You don't concentrate on the 3,000 out there. You're worrying about, why did that son of a bitch leave? You know, he doesn't like me. And, you know, when you live a life where you have to worry about the one guy that doesn't like you, because I'm going to tell you something. Unless you're a doorknob or something, or a floor mat, and you're walking this world, somebody's not going to like. Let me tell you something. If I go to a meeting, and 25% of people don't hate my guts, I figure I haven't said anything. I'm not even being me. You know what I mean? You know, I used to phony up so much to try to be whatever I could be so that everybody would love me, you know what I mean? And that's a tough thing, because then if somebody doesn't like you, you got to go up and say, why don't you like me? I said, well, that's not really me. You're trying to find out what they need you to be in order, and because it's scary, and that's why I drank. I used to say I love people, and my sponsor would say, you love people? Why'd you always have to get drunk when you were with them? That's what they do. You know, come out of treatment, you go to a wedding. Why? What am I going to do at a wedding? Because I'm going to be with people. You know what I mean? You know, if I wasn't drinking, I'd never get laid. You know what I mean? I mean, everything scared me. Personal relationships scared me. Women, men, everything scared me. You know, that's that's alcoholism. You know what that happens? It happens when you're sober. Men and women drink because they like the effect produced by alcohol. They're restless, irritable, discontented, scared, lonely, bored, every possible thing you can imagine. They're talking about that's the way we are sober. So now I'm not drinking, now I'm sober, now I got a real problem. I was using alcohol to solve the problem I had with life, you know, before I started drinking. Now I'm not drinking, and I don't know what to do because I'm thinking the same way and it's even worse. And you know, and the real problem with this disease is I got to figure out how to do this thing, not in a laboratory, not in a hospital, but like on the street out there while they're using live ammunition. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, like, I gotta get married, I gotta raise kids, I gotta raise children, I gotta raise grandchildren, I gotta earn money, I gotta deal with traffic, I gotta deal with you guys, I gotta deal with everything. I mean, it's like they're shooting live ammunition at me while I'm trying to figure out how to do this thing, and I'm like, I'll tell you what, it's like ABC Wild World. Well, you guys are too young for that. You guys don't remember. How many people remember ABC Wild World of Sports? You know, like a few people. Well, if you remember it, you'll understand. If you're not, I'll try to explain to you. They used to have this thing. This is actually, I'm going to actually go back to the, well, you'll see. I'm going to tie this thing up somehow. I know you don't, because I started off with my wife and went up to the Al-Anon thing. Yeah. This all has to do with that. So let me, I'm her qualifier. That's why I go there. You know, if you're an Al-Anon, right, you know, you, if you're a codependent, you need a qualifier. You know, In other words, I made her the woman she is today. She She's in Al-Anon. She's the queen of Al-Anon because of me. I am. Why are you here? He says, because of my husband, you know. See, she was, as she explains it to me, she was well before she met me. And you see, that's what Al-Anon is. It's millions of women, mostly women. I mean, there's some guys there, but whatever, you know. You know, so in any event, so it's like billions of women, you know. And the only reason, and they go to meetings all the time, and they meet all the time, the 12 steps, and their only problem is like they ran into us like in an elevator or something, you know? Because we're that powerful, you know? Listen, you want to know how powerful alcoholics are? I've sponsored thousands of them. Just in 33 years, just sponsor a bunch of them. They're crazy. They have this genius, no matter how sick they are, they have a genius of getting into all sorts of frickin' jams and troubles, and somehow you're with them and you feel like you have to get them out of them, you know, out of the jams. And then they drive you crazy, and if you don't do it, you feel like guilty that they're in the, you know, they say things, they give you this whole big mess of crap that's been going on for years. You know, I'm in love with a heroin addict, and, you know, she tried to stab me the other day, and, you know, she lit me on fire, and, you know, I don't know what to do. And you say things like, they say, well, I think you ought to move out. And they say, well, I can't do that, you know? And you say, well, maybe if you do this, no, I can't do that. And by the third, I can't do this, you're like going nuts, you know? You're ready for Al-Anon. That's when you go into Al-Anon, because they've driven you nuts, you know? And so I go there, I'm the qualifier, and, you know, she's with her little friends, and she's like pointing at me, and they like giggle, you know? And that's my deal. So in any event, where was I? Oh, so I got this alcoholism problem. So you got these compulsions. So I was I'm compelled to drink. I'm compelled to think. I'm compelled to buy. I'm compelled to look. I'm compelled to do so. I do so many things that I feel compelled to do. Of course, I don't think I'm compelled to do them. I just do them, and I don't even know why I do them. All I know is I do them all the time, and it has nothing to do with drinking. It has something to do with thinking and feelings and emotions and what I think I need and what I think I have. I'm compelled to buy. Yeah, you know, you're compelled to buy a new blouse. You got to have that new dress. You got to have that new car. You got to have that new thing. You got to get that job. You got to get that gal. You got. I need. I got to take every single freaking thing they have in this world and shove it in me, and then move to Milwaukee. And it's okay for 5 seconds, and then it's all screwed up. I got to move back. And I need so much just not to blow my brains out. And nothing seems to work. And that's why we got a book that says there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. And I don't want to hear about that God shit. Just tell me about the money, and tell me about the sex, and tell me about the women, and tell me about the this. I don't want to hear about that God shit, because first of all, people will laugh at me, and the last thing I want is for anybody to laugh at me, because even though I'm the greatest in the world, I really feel like I'm a piece of shit. Carl Menninger in the 1930s wrote a book, Man Against Himself, and he said alcoholics are men and women who are out to destroy themselves. And because no matter what alcoholics say to you, you know when you're dealing with an alcoholic, you're dealing with somebody that thinks very lowly of themselves. They have very low opinions of themselves. And when you have a low opinion of yourself and you think you're a piece of crap, and all that's why we got them voices, you know. You're in the shower lathering up, and all of a sudden you hear somebody say, you're a piece of shit, you ought to be dead, you don't deserve to live, and you look around, you're the only one in the shower, you know. Where's that coming from, you know? That's your opinion about you. That's your opinion of you about you that you hold of yourself. That's your reputation with you, of you. And maybe you can divert your attention by listening to music or by texting or by getting in a relationship or by going here or going there or traveling or taking a cruise. You might be able to divert your attention for a while so you're not thinking. And that's why you don't like silence or being alone in silence, because you think bad thoughts about yourself and other people. And if you run around and you busy yourself enough and do things enough, maybe you don't think shitty about yourself. But every once in a while, you got to stop, and then comes the bullshit and thinking shitty about yourself again. And you don't even know how to do that or even what's going on. All you know is you just don't feel good about yourself and other people. And you got all these monkeys jumping around in your brain and crap like that. And that's something called alcoholism, by the way. That's what alcoholism is like. And you don't know it's alcoholism because it's basically just you. It's just the way you are. It's the way you've always been. You don't even know how to do anything different or be anything different because you've never been anything other than like that. And that's the deal. Maybe sometimes you can go to a meeting and, you know, you'll hear somebody say something crazy. And you'll say, that sounds vicious, crazy. And then you say, man, I was thinking that way last week. Or maybe your sponsor, you'll have a good sponsor and they'll say you're crazy and they'll explain to you why you're crazy. But slowly but surely over a period of 10, 15, 20, 30 years, you start seeing what this alcoholism is really about. You can't see what it's about while you're drinking, because all you see, when you're drinking, all you see is drunk. And drunk is not alcoholism, because regular people, non-alcoholics, get drunk, you know what I mean? If you get a non-alcoholic, an alcoholic here, and they're drinking and they get drunk, you can't tell the difference. I'll tell you when you find somebody's an alcoholic or not. You find out about them when they're sober. I mean, I can go up to guys when they're sober and shake their hand. They can say two words to me and say, man, that guy's a drunk. He may not be drunk. That guy's a drunk. And if he's not drinking, he should be drinking, you know. I just have to hear one word. So in any event, I'm gonna tell you a little something, take about 5 minutes of your time, and attempt to take another 3 hours, but I won't do that to you. But in any event, I'll tell you a little. So I went up to this Al-Anon thing. And so I go up there, you know, I don't really hang out with them because I'm like a fish out of water with you know, God bless them. Now, let me tell you something. I'm just going to tell you, this is just a statement. I'm going to make a statement, okay? You know, it could be all bullshit, you know? I mean, listen, I'm just talking about my experience, you know? You know, when a man with experience meets a man with money, the man with experience will walk away with the money, and the man with the money will have walked away with an experience. So I'm going to tell you, this is my experience. My experience is alcoholics are stone codependents. If codependents are people that worry about what other people think about them and think about other people and think about other people all the time and how they feel, you know, believe we got that codependency thing down. Now, thank God, let me tell you a little secret. I am not against anybody who's going to Al-Anon. You can get rid of that codependency right in here by doing the steps and by having a sponsor. There's nothing wrong. Some people need to, you know, you got to. But let me tell you something. This is about once you get involved in here and you start getting involved in relationships and getting sober and getting transformed, you know, experiencing much of heaven, being rocketed in the fourth dimension of existence, which is not even dream. It says once you make that decision, all sorts of remarkable things happen. That decision for God. All sorts of remarkable things happen. Being all-powerful, it gives you everything you need if you stay close to him and perform his works well. We start losing concerns about our little plans and designs. We start being concerned about other people. We lose fear of today, tomorrow, the hereafter, we're reborn. You can have a total psychic change. Ideas, emotions, and attitudes, which were the prior things of your life, can be shifted one side. You become dominated by whole different ideas, emotions, attitudes. You want something? You don't lose your personality. You know what you do? You keep your personality without the unhealthy compulsions. Imagine what you would be like with your personality without the unhealthy compulsions. And the sixth step is it's the man who grows in the image and likeness of your creator. You grow in the image of likeness of your creator. Your creator is in you. His spirit is in you. But you want something that looks exactly like you, and it's your personality without the bad shit. It's you without the bad shit. All sorts of incredible things happen. You lose fear of people and of economic insecurity. Doesn't mean you get any money. You'll probably be broke for the rest of your life, but it won't bother you. That's all, you know. They asked Mother Teresa, you know, well, the guy from the New York Times followed her around. He said, I wouldn't do this shit for $1 million. She said, neither would I. She did it because she was compelled. I don't know, one day I'm going to meetings because I need a meeting. I need a meeting. And one day I wake up and I'm going to meetings. I realize I'm going to meetings, not because I need a meeting, although I'll always need meetings and need people. I realize I'm going to meetings to see whether there's anybody there I can help. And you want something? The compulsion, in a sense, is just as great. I want to be at that meeting more than I wanted to be at that meeting when I needed a meeting. But I want to be at that meeting more than when I needed a meeting, because I want to help people more because I'm grateful about being sober. And that kind of compulsion is a godly compulsion. It's a good compulsion. It says you'll be a maximum service to yourself and other people. And that's a compulsion that will keep you sober for 30 years. And that's why Bill Wilson said, the Lord has been so wonderful to me, curing me of this terrible disease that I got to keep talking about it and telling other people. So there are compulsions in here that will inhabit your body that you'll end up doing that will rocket you into the fourth dimension of existence, which will make life more than just bearable. Man, I don't want to be one of these guys that got 20 years and I'm hanging in there. One guy, one blessed day, I'm hanging in there. Crap, you know? So in any event, so I'm up here at this Al-Anon thing. So what I do is to, you know, for some relief, you know, there's a meeting. It's up here in Boca somewhere. They have it up here at this off of Cypress Creek Road. I don't know where it is. Wherever Cypress Creek Road is, there's this Marriott there. And so I go... there's this meeting I always go to when I'm up here. I know where it is. It's only a mile away. You know, there I can beat a hasty retreat there. It's like my field hospital. You know what I mean? Get away from all these Al-Anon type people and get over there, you know. And so I went to this deal, this meeting. It's the
Pompano Beach
thing, you know. And I go there at 7, like, so they have two meetings. They have one at like 7 o'clock in the morning or 7, yeah. 6, and they have one at 9. So I got there late. I got there like, if the meeting ends at 7:30, I got there like 7:25. And I'm sitting there in the meeting, and I'm there just in time for them to see giving out the chips and everything like that, because I figure I'll go to the 9 o'clock meeting. And they're handing out the chips, and they pick up, a red chip. They had a 60-day chip. I don't know what color it is. Anybody have 60 days? And this kid gets up. Kid is probably like 35 years old. He gets up, pick up a 60-day chip, and I have this feeling came over me that I had a feeling of, I guess the best way I can say it is a feeling of nostalgia. Nostalgia. You know what nostalgia is, you know, where trying to remember, you know, just sort of like remembering in a good way how, in a sort of like in a sense, you know, like when I had 60 days, how great that was to have 60 days. Now, it was really kind of shitty, but you know what I mean? But I don't even know how to explain this, so I'm going to do the best I can to explain this deal with you. My, you know, the ABC Wild World of Sports, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat, what they do is at the starting of ABC Wild World of Sports, they would have this guy going down this ski thing, what is slalom? And he's going down like 90, 100 miles per hour, like beautiful form and everything like that. And they'd say, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And when they said agony of defeat, the guy would start to take off, and all of a sudden he'd start twirling around laterally and hit a tree. It was not a pretty thing. You understand what I'm saying? And so that's what would happen. Well, that was like my first 15 years in Alcoholics Anonymous. I mean, at times I was like going down the slalom fast as hell, you know what I mean? And at times I was twirling around hitting a tree, you know? I mean, it was like, because when you're sober and you don't have the booze going on, you know, you're up, you're down, you're up, you're down, you're good, you're bad, you're up, you're down, and then you go on to like the second hour, you know what I mean? And you know, that's the deal. And the bottom line, because there, let me tell you something. You know how they say, what's that saying they say? What's that thing they say? My best day.
Sober?
My best day sober is
better.
What is it? What is it? My worst day sober is better than my best day drunk. Now that's horseshit. I'm telling you that right now. That is total horseshit, you know? You know, you don't know what fear feels like. Then when it's 3 o'clock in the morning, you got a wife and three kids are foreclosing on your house, you know what I mean, and you have no money. Believe me, that fear without booze, fear without drugs, fear without anything to between you and the fear is horrible. It's horrible. I just thought I'd point that out to you just in case. Just in case one day it's 3 o'clock in the morning and you're a thumb-sucking crybaby and you feel like dying, you're looking around for help and you're all alone and there's nobody there to help you, and you feel, I didn't get sober for this, this is freaking horrible, that you know there's no way to reason to panic. You know what I mean? This is all good shit. You know what I mean? Because you're gonna learn that you're either going to turn to God, who's always with you, or that's going to be what the rest of your sobriety is going to feel like. You're gonna either do the deal, or you can look forward, if you're gonna stay sober, for feeling that way every time things don't go your way. You're gonna find out how this thing works. You don't do the seven steps. Seven step does you. You know what I mean? You're gonna find out about changing. You're either gonna turn or burn. You're gonna change, or you're gonna be a herding gator. You're gonna be one of these, big shot sort of know-it-all sort of deals, and you're going to say, I'm going to do it my way, I'm going to tough it out with the drinking, or somehow you're going to change to, so somehow you can not only live life sober physically, but live life sober mentally. So what I was thinking about, though, is it was really to be able to walk in the room with 60 days, 90 days, 100 days. At that time, I had sponsors all around me, older guys all around me, they all had 20, 30 years. You could be dumb as shit, you didn't have to know anything. you were stupid, I was stupid, I'd say things, you know, stupid things, but it was okay to be stupid. Every time I had a problem, which was every other second, I'd be running to my sponsor and say, what do I do about this? What do I do about that? He'd always have the answer. Half the time I wouldn't understand it, but I'd do it anyway. To be able to, you know, that feeling of being in a family, of being close, of being scared. I mean, when I think about it, you know, I look back at it now, God is great because, you know, one of the things he does is we forget the bad stuff. Sometimes I'll hear a new person talk about something he's going through, and I'll say, man, I remember when I went through that. But if I don't hear a new person talking about that, I don't remember it. I just remember, you know, how good. But the truth is, my first 15 years was, man, 9 years sober, I remember going through something, you know what I mean? Going through stuff, you know what I mean? And I see these guys with 30 years, and man, they didn't have a care in the world. And I went up to my sponsor once, I said, do you get resentment? He says, get them, I give them. Give them. Man, I used to, man, how do you do that? I couldn't stand it if somebody didn't like me. You know what I mean? How could I, you know? I couldn't stand it. If I was late for a meeting, what am I going to do? Oh, my God, you know, run over that car. You know, wow, man, you know. What are they thinking about me? And all, oh, it's tough being an alcoholic. When I was 25 years sober, you know what happens in this deal as you change? You know, you don't even realize. You know, I swear to God, it's really true. You don't realize you changed until 5 years after you change. You know, one day you're 25 years sober, and you look and you realize that you no longer worry about 90% of the stuff that you used to worry about, and you don't even know when it left. You don't even know when the worry left. All you know is that, and you know, for the last 10 years, that up, down, I mean, I'm not saying it's like perfect or everything, but I mean, I'll tell you, it gets pretty good. You know, I mean, it gets pretty good. See what your relationship with him is riding. Great events will come past you and countless others. And all of a sudden, you spend like 10, 13 years. It's, you know, when I used to feel good, when I'd get something called serenity, I guess, whatever it is, you know what happened? It felt weird. I remember the first time I got serenity, I went up to my sponsor. I didn't know it was serenity. I just knew I felt weird. And I went to my sponsor. I said, there's something wrong. He says, what? He says, I don't know. It's real. He says, you got a problem? I said, no. He says, you need money? I says, no. He says, your wife? He says, no. Some more words. He says, no. It's just, I just feel strange. He says, Russ, that's serenity. You'll get used to it. You know? I mean, you know, when I used to start feeling good, you know, good, and I did, you know, you look for things to worry about. When I wasn't worried, I'd worry about not worrying. I mean, I would have shit going on around me, like I'd be low on money, or the IRS would send me, or something would happen, and I wouldn't worry about it, and I thought maybe I needed to see a psychiatrist, because people should really worry about this shit, you know what I mean? I'd worry about not worrying, I'd look for things to worry about, okay? And then all of a sudden, I started getting used to living a life where, you know how they talk about it in here, they love to talk about, well, you'll fall off that pink cloud. I was always looking, when I felt good, when am I going to fall off? That free-flowing, when are things going to get, I know things are good now, but I know things are about to get bad. Because I don't deserve things to be good. I deserve things to be bad. You know what I mean? Because why should things go good for me? You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, one day, I decided that maybe I'll just never fall off. Maybe this is what it's all about. Maybe if I focus on God all the time and I focus on good stuff all the time, I'll never fall off. Even after they tell me I have cancer. Maybe even after they tell me maybe I'm low on money. Or maybe even after somebody says they don't like, maybe I'll never fall off. Maybe I'll just be sort of like entitled to this as one of God's kids, you know what I mean? Because I have faith that no matter what happens in my life, it'll all work out. You know, and I decided that I was going to buy into that deal, and it's worked for me for at least 13 years now, since I was 20 years sober. It took a while. Hey, it took me 15 years. 15 years to be able to say to somebody, I need help, I can't stop drinking. I probably needed help not being able to stop drinking after the first 2 years. You know what I mean? It took me 15 years of bad breaks, misunderstandings, having the crap beat out of me to realize I had a drinking problem. How many years do you think it takes to find out you have a lusting problem, or you have an envy problem, or you have a, you know, feeling sorry for yourself problem, or a pride problem, or an ego problem? So how many years do you think it takes for that? And they don't arrest you for that shit. At least for the alcohol, you can lose your job, but you wanted something, you do suffer consequences for that stuff. It just takes longer to see it. Unless you have a damn good sponsor and you're here and you're focusing on other people and you're hanging around with winners and you'll see it and then you'll want what they have and you won't even know what they have, but you want to get there, so you'll do what they tell you to do. And before you know it, you'll start recognizing what you have, and you'll really want to get rid of it. And then once you want to get rid of it, then it's only another 10 years away before you get rid of it. And then in about 15 years, you'll realize, holy shit, I got rid of that shit. When did it happen? You'll realize it happened 5 years before you realized it had started happening, because you really didn't have much to do about it, because it was all a God thing. You didn't do it anyway. Which I don't even know how to explain that, but that's the deal. So, in any event, I don't know whether any of that makes any sense, but, you know, I've gone a little bit over. I know, but I get after 2 hours, you know. In the car, I'm entitled. I'm going over to Outback. I'm going to get something to eat. You're all welcome to go there. I'm not going to treat you. Okay, God bless you. Thank you very much.